Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hashtag buy diverse is their mantra and should be yours too. The Chicago Minority Supplier Development Council connects Asian, Black, Hispanic, and Native American owned businesses with corporations and government municipalities that seek services. Partner with them today at buydiverse.net.
I think, yeah, I'm not even sure. I know that all the Munsters shows are streaming. I want to say Peacock. I might be wrong on that. I'm not sure. But I want to watch as many Munster episodes today as I possibly can.
You're going to binge watch the Munsters?
That's going to be my Halloween activity. That and ignoring the doorbell when it rings.
Well, if you want really scary, you should tune in the Bears game later today.
Oh, that's a little too realistically scary.
That could get scary today.
Ugh. Is that going to be a disaster today?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, the Bears have their head coach in COVID protocol, so the special teams coach is now taking over.
A lot of people are saying that could be a positive for the Bears.
Yeah, I just wonder if Matt Nagy is at home going, don't win.
You know, turns out we don't need him after all.
Yeah, exactly.
But aren't they facing one of the worst teams in the NFL?
Yeah, they're facing the 49ers, who have lost four straight games. The Bears have only lost two. Yeah. So I guess you could say the Bears are twice as good.
Yeah. Shwani, do you give out candy at your house? Do you get trick or treaters at your house?
Not anymore.
Since you put that moat in. The moat around the Shawnee Mansion.
And the iron door. No, we used to. The building had a policy that seemed to work well a number of years ago, that if you were going to participate, if you were going to be home and wanted to, let the kids knock on your door for some candy or trick-or-treating, you would get a paper pumpkin and you put it on the door, and then that would let them know that, you know,
it's okay
to
knock on your door.
It's okay to knock on your door. I did that.
That's a good idea.
I did that. I was not the grumpy old man that you continually make me out to be.
Turn out the lights and shut the door.
Did, right. Yep. No, I did. I got one kid. So they haven't done it for a number of years. But I have to say, overall in the neighborhood, I do see quite a bit of activity elsewhere, because there are some houses about a block south and, a very nice residential section, and the kids are out late afternoon and early evening, and then it's about when it wraps up.
I saw a lot of kids out yesterday.
Did you? Yeah.
I don't remember that when we were kids. I mean, you had to get all your work done on Halloween Day.
Absolutely.
You couldn't start a couple of days beforehand. But I know it's a different world that we're living in now, and some neighborhoods, organizations, they do events, prior to. But I saw kids legit walking the streets trick-or-treating yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Are you ready for them tonight then?
Not yet, no. I'm going to go pick up some stuff after the show today.
Okay. All right.
I got to decide. I only buy stuff that I like, though. If I don't like it.
If they don't like it, too bad.
You're
right?
Not getting it. Because if I only get one kid and I've got a bowl full of candy left, it's incumbent.
I know
on
what's going to happen to that bowl of candy if you only get one kid.
Yeah, I'm not pretending like I'm not going to eat the whole thing in one sitting.
As you're binge watching the Munsters.
Yeah, you'll find me dead in my chair tomorrow with Almond Joy wrappers all over.
I love laying on the floor.
I love an Almond Joy. Let me tell you something. I'm not a big candy fan overall, but I will eat 17 Almond Joys.
That's your candy bar of choice?
I love an Almond
Joy. You and Lou
Joy.
Manfredini both. He was talking about that yesterday.
I love an Almond Joy.
Yeah.
You get the nice coconut, chocolate, and the almond
right
in there as well.
Yeah.
It truly is a thing of joy with an almond. I'll settle for a Mounds bar, but Almond Joy is, I like a Butterfingers.
Oh, yeah.
What about you guys? What's your candy of choice?
Yeah.
Andy, what's your candy?
You know, if you're talking about chocolate, I would have to say that the Snickers bar would rule the day.
Hmm.
And it would be closely followed by what I think is one of the more underrated and less talked about candy bars, and that's the Three Musketeers bar.
Three Musketeers bar. You're a Mars family.
Like the Mars family.
The doubly chocolate treat.
Hmm. Yeah.
I guess Snickers. I mean, for me, I've never been a huge fan of Snickers. I'll eat it, of course.
Yeah. The bite-sized ones, you know.
The fun size?
Yeah.
Even though there's nothing fun about getting one that's smaller than usual size?
Correct.
It's actually anti-fun. It's really anti-fun. Fun would be if you got me a normal-sized candy bar.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
King-size one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Every time this Halloween comes around, I always think about my brother and I trick-or-treating in our old neighborhood. And there was one house. It was on the corner of our street. They gave out cans of pop.
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
They were giving out the like the generic stuff from the Jewels.
Oh.
But it was good enough to want to go back there a couple times. We'd switch masks and go back and get a couple extra ones.
Stock up. Get a six-pack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring home a six-pack.
We used to do that, too. We would switch masks like people wouldn't notice.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the people.
We thought we were fooling everybody.
We were fans of the houses that occasionally would give out nickels or dimes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice treat to find one of those. And it's probably completely different now, but we used to love people. Some people used to make homemade popcorn balls.
Mm.
Not the store-bought, the homemade. They were delicious. Now, you know, a SWAT team would descend upon a house giving out anything like that to kids out on the street. Chwani, what's your candy of choice?
Andy mentioned one of them, Butterfingers, and then there was another one that you don't see hardly at all anymore, and that was the Clark Bar.
Oh, I like
remember the Clark Bars?
Yeah, the Clark Bar.
Yeah, Clark Bars were good.
Love the Clark Bar.
And just, I'm not fussy, actually. I'll take any of the above-mentioned candy bars.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you get an Almond Joy, I would have to stop and sit down for a minute. I don't think I could wait until I got
home. You were
home.
With a group of people, you'd say, you guys go ahead without me.
Yeah,
I have to finish this.
I have to sit down and enjoy this, because if I go home to sort it out with my brothers, there's no way I'm going to wind up with all the like chuckles and like stuff that
chuckles. There's another favorite. That's not a candy bar per se, but that's one of my favorite.
You
candy.
Like chuckles?
Yeah.
Never cared for the chuckles.
Oh, sure.
See, I was allergic to chocolate growing up.
Oh.
So when we get the, and I would always try to sneak a couple just to, you know, to be that sneaky kid. But my brother would get all the chocolate and I would get the Smarties, the Sweet Tarts,
Smarties,
the Necco wafers, whatever those were.
I used to like Sweet
Necco,
Tarts.
Necco wafers.
Necco wafers.
Yeah.
I used to like that.
I get a lot of that.
Used to like...
Good and Plenty.
What's the sour candy that's the popular sour candy now?
Oh, that's now?
Yeah.
The Sour Patch Kids or the...
Ryan, jump in here. Ryan, a trick-or-treater of completely different generation than us.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids.
That's what
I was thinking of. Yeah. Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
There's some good treats to be had today.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
There's a good one.
Those are really
absolutely
good.
Eat two of those and chug a glass of milk.
Oh, that's good eating right there.
That sure is.
That's good eating. I think that's what I'm going to do the rest of the day today. I'm just going to eat really bad stuff and watch Munsters episodes.
You're going to be overloaded with sugar.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to put the candy at the door so I don't even have to bother to get up.
That sounds like a beautiful Sunday.
If the candy's
finally
gone,
seeing the sun outside here after dreary, dismal weather we've had this weekend, all you want to do is eat Almond Joys inside.
you say that like it's something bad.
You can open the blinds and get a little sunshine in there.
Oh, now I'm distressed at some texts that are coming in. Some people are texting in. I truly wish you good luck finding Halloween candy today. We've been looking for 2 days. Uh-oh.
See what happens when you procrastinate?
Every store that I go in has like pounds, like mounds and mounds and mounds, and I don't mean mounds bars, of candy. Like plenty.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it plentiful, but we have a lot of emails here. Good luck finding candy. I went to my Walmart. They only had bare shelves. Oh, boy. Oof. Oh, boy.
That's not good.
Well, kids coming to my house, you may be getting beef pot pies.
Please return the serving dish when you're done.
Somebody mentioned Jolly Ranchers. I love a good Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, they're good, too.
Enjoy a good Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, the Jolly Rancher stuff, I always have liked those, too. Good and Plenty. I can't eat them anymore. Dental work. As you age, shall we say, Teeth aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, I'm not at that point, but I haven't had a good in plenty in a long time.
No, the other good houses would give out Pez with the Pez dispenser.
Oh, that's a good...
With the dispenser?
With the dispenser,
good, that's
yes.
That's a good treat right there. That's an excellent treat.
Yes.
Shawnee, you know why I love the good in plenty?
Why?
Because Charlie says...
Charlie says...
Love my good
and plenty. Charlie says...
Really rings the bell. Charlie says...
Love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
In case you're wondering if advertising works.
Yeah. Choo-choo Charlie.
500 years after the commercials were on the air, Shawnee and I can... And many of you, I imagine, are also...
Singing right along.
You know what the saddest part of Halloween was? Whenever you would work your way down to the bottom of the...
The bag.
Yeah. You know, over the next week and a half.
You get down to the loose candy corns that are down
there.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the miscellaneous, random colored.
Right.
The stuff that you didn't want that was less of a priority.
Passed over on several times over.
Yeah.
Is there a more divisive candy than candy corn?
I was just going to say that. How do we all feel about candy corn?
I love candy corn.
I do too. Yeah.
I love candy
corn. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I used to... You know how I told you that when I would get Bugles snacks, I would put them on my fingers like fingernails?
Yeah.
The candy corn, I would put them on my teeth.
Yes.
So it looked like I would look like I had Dracula teeth.
Yes.
I can just picture that.
This explains a lot about me, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Every week we take another peel of the onion comes off. Well, everybody be careful out there. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? Somebody sent me a picture. They went to a Halloween party dressed as me.
What?
They sent me a picture of themselves.
They
I'll just say Donna. I won't say her full name because I don't know if she wants me to. Donna, this is my Halloween costume. I'm Dean Richards. And, of course, she's bald. Glasses. She has a little fake gray goatee.
And, now you should feel flattered in the best sense.
Well,
that's cool.
I am a little bit, I guess. But also, part of me goes, I look like that. But it's I'll post the picture because it's, if anything else, it is quite amusing. As we also get a great enjoyment every week from this little thing we call the far-flung forecast. It's our Halloween edition, I'm imagining, today.
Yes, it is, actually.
A weekly compendium of interesting facts and figures presented each week to us by our charming host, Dave Boris Karloff Schwann.
Why, thank you very much, Dean. Hello, everyone, and happy Halloween. Today, we go rather close to home today, down near Peoria to Morton, Illinois. Morton, Illinois, a population of about 16,000, and holds an annual Morton Pumpkin Festival. The reason for this is because they have the designation of being the pumpkin capital of the world, saying that they produce and process as much as 85% of the pumpkin fillings that go into pies, and they have an annual pumpkin festival where there's carving contests and that sort of thing. A lot of pumpkin activity down there. So, Halloween is one of their favorite times of year. Morton, Illinois, having a nice day. It's sunny and 45 there.
And just a little update, Andy, we got a text from somebody saying that she's giving out cans of Coke to all of her trick-or-treaters this
year. We'll be right there.
Not the generic cola spelled with a K, but actual Coca-Cola.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. Name brand stuff. And circus peanuts.
Yeah, that's another one of those divisive candies.
Not a fan of the circus peanut.
I loved them as a kid. Don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
It's like eating styrofoam. You may as well just go get some styrofoam and eat it. WGN. All things COVID. Dr. Kevin Most, medical director, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Before we get into the COVID chat for this week, something very serious and extremely scary happened this week. Kevin, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I am doing great, Dean. How about yourself?
You're doing You're doing great. Listen to you with more vigor than I've ever heard your voice before. Yeah. You've had quite a week, haven't you, my friend?
Yeah, I have, Dean. I was unfortunately in a car accident and was very fortunate to have my seatbelt on and good airbags and probably saved my life. So, yep, I'm sore, but I'm on this side of the flowers, and I'm very happy.
Unbelievable. I cannot even tell you how scared I was when I heard that you weren't just in a car accident. You were in a head-on car accident that left your car totaled. Very, very, very serious. And you were able to walk away from it. Did you go to the hospital?
Yeah, I actually did. It was interesting, you know. I was making a left-hand turn into a northbound lane, and the individual was unfortunately driving southbound in the northbound lane. And as I turned, we just hit head-on. And like I said, fortunately, the airbags and everything went, and police and paramedics were there quickly. They took the other driver immediately to the hospital, and I was doing okay. I mean, I tell you, anybody who has never had an airbag explode into their chest and face is very fortunate, but tells you the importance of wearing seatbelts and, right, and driving safe. But
you had no.
Yeah, they took me to the hospital, and I was fortunate. Nice when they take you to your own hospital, and got excellent care from the emergency department at Central DuPage. And
look, there's the boss.
Check me out.
Hey, look who's on that gurney. It's the boss. So you were okay, just beaten around by those airbags that can be brutal. I don't know the amount of force that comes out of those airbags, but I've heard that it is tremendous in order to protect you, and probably saved your life, that along with your seatbelt. But other than that, no broken bones, no anything.
No, just bad chest wall pain and chest wall contusion, and I smacked my leg pretty good, but that's not broken. And wow. Interesting, like you said, the force of those airbags, and it's actually gunpowder that shoots it out there. And I actually burned a hole in my pants and burned a hole on my sleeve and my arm as well. But just a slight burn on my leg. And so, but hey, I'll tell you, overall, you can always replace a car. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. But certainly not. Not having a car with airbags, not having a car with good seatbelt, I would have gone through that windshield and would have hit that steering wheel. And those are bad things that used to happen to people a long time ago. And fortunately, technology has gotten to a point where you can get in an accident such as I had and still walk away from it.
That's unbelievable. Well, I know I speak for everybody when I say how grateful we are that you're okay. You're using this as an opportunity to remind people, take a second, put that damn seatbelt on. A lot of people have said, I'm just going one block to the store. I don't need to put the seatbelt on. Take the necessary precautions, because it literally can mean life or death.
100%.
I know people say, oh, it's my right to not wear the seatbelts. Like, I guess it is, but why would you want to do that? Why would anybody want to do that? So here's the question, since I heard about this the other day. Kevin sent me pictures of his car, just demolished, completely demolished. My big question that I've had all week since we chatted earlier in the week, what kind of patient are you when you go to the hospital? Are you second-guessing everything? Are you telling them what to do?
No, yeah, I think I learned early on in my career the importance of understanding the view as a patient and the view as a doctor. And, when you go to the emergency room, you put your care in the hands of the excellent nurses and doctors that are in the emergency room. And I just was polite and appreciative. And, you don't play the I'm the boss card at all. I understand I have to wait for an X-ray. I understand I have to wait for the EKG, And I think I'm a pretty good patient.
Yeah. I would hate to think that you're one of these whiny people, like, I've been sitting here for 2 hours waiting. Or, one of these, you get some young technician that comes in, struggling with an X-ray machine, and perfectly well how to do it yourself. That you should say, step aside, kid, I'll take this X-ray myself.
No, you know, I was appreciative of the care that they delivered to me. And you know what? It's kind of nice when you don't jump the line because you're the boss.
Right.
You know, you understand what's going on and you're cognizant of what they're doing. And there probably were much more sicker, important patients in the emergency department. They took great care of me.
Listen to this guy. Listen to this. You're trying to make us love you even more than we already do?
Yeah, right.
Listen to you. Listen to you.
Yeah.
Well, again, now I'm completely teasing when I say all that stuff. If anything, it probably gave you a greater understanding of what people go through when they check into the emergency room. Maybe you made a few little notes of, you know, this is what people are going through when they're coming through our emergency room.
And Dean, yeah, not only that, the paramedics and the DuPage County Sheriff and the Warrenville Police Department could not have been, you know, it's interesting when I got to now take a look back at how I was treated and handled on the scene, how they were concerned not only about my safety, but the safety of the entire environment and the cars, because we shut down Winfield Road and Butterfield Road probably a good couple hours. Just the way that they handled me in the rain and were polite and nice. And I can't say enough for the paramedics from Warrenville, the police department, and I wish I got the DuPage County Sheriff, who was nice enough to give me a ride up to the hospital, because I didn't want to have them call another ambulance. And yet he said, hey, hop in and I'll take you up to the hospital.
Yeah.
So we never think about sometimes those individuals who are the first on the scene to make sure that everything's okay, that they can get you to the hospital safely.
Right. And in situations where it's very likely that somebody could literally be in a state of shock when that's going on, and they kind of calm the situation down a little bit, manage it both for the people involved in the accident and the people who are trying to get to work, trying to get around the accident scene, who have to, you know, get on with their things. Well, again, we are so grateful that you're okay. And you made a note to tell us, don't worry, I'll still be at the Tree Time show that was on the 14th. The guy was just in a head-on car collision, and he's worried that we're going to be worried that he might not be able to make the Tree Time show, which we would completely understand. But you had assured us that you will be there. We're going to look forward to you.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there. I don't think there's any golf in my immediate future, so...
Wow.
But I'll still be working. So.
All right. Well, we're glad. We're looking forward to seeing you in person on November the 14th out of Tree Time in Lake Barrington. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. A quick break, and we'll get to some COVID issues that are going on this week and some of your questions. 312-981-7200. Dr. Kevin Most, Medical Director, Central DuPage Hospital, on the line with us, as always, for everything COVID, 947. And Kevin, I was reading an article this happens to be about the state of Vermont, of how they have some of the strictest COVID protocols, yet their COVID numbers are going up. I know that's going on in several other states as well. Can you explain the logic behind that?
Yeah, you know, it really is interesting when you look at some of these states that have done everything they possibly can to mitigate, and you'll still see a rise. Vermont has come down a little bit, but it's still the highest vaccinated state in the nation.
Right.
And yet they still have a spike going on right now. See, this is just showing you that this illness will still find those who are unvaccinated and get you. But it is really interesting. And that's difficult because now patients are saying, well, look, Vermont has the highest vaccination rates, and yet they're still going up. You know, we have to be really careful because as we come into flu season, we want to make sure that people are vaccinated. So interesting that it's occurring. Not really sure how the pockets are yet because they haven't done this deep dive. But certainly hospitalizations are still falling in somewhat of a normal range in Vermont.
Yeah, in Vermont since August, 200 new cases per day. And I've read that, similarly going on in other places. What I've also heard quite a bit this week, people getting COVID either for the first time or in some cases, second time, fully vaccinated, even some with booster shots, still getting COVID.
Yep. We're seeing breakthrough cases. We're seeing more breakthrough cases. And, you know, we all have to remember that, you know, some individuals, when they got COVID early on, they are now getting the Delta variant. So it's kind of like, how can I get three colds in one season? And it's because these coronaviruses mutate. And we know that the common cold is a coronavirus, just like COVID is. And you're starting to see, wait a second, why is my body, you know, I had COVID, I should be totally protected. And yet we're seeing breakthrough cases with Delta. Now, usually those are less severe cases, but certainly showing that the importance of the vaccination, because natural immunity for someone who got COVID early on doesn't seem to protect them as well against the Delta variant that we're seeing right now. So we are seeing individuals who have gotten COVID twice. We are seeing individuals that have been vaccinated. And we have to remember that vaccine was based on the original COVID. And now we're being exposed to Delta. So that's why we're seeing some breakthrough cases.
I've also heard quite a few people this week, people who don't want to be vaccinated, saying, I had COVID. I now have natural immunity, which is better than any vaccination. Is that true or is that not true?
No, and that's an argument, Dean, that's going on not only across the country, but in a lot of occupations right now where mandatory vaccinations are being asked. Chicago Police Department, for example, individuals are saying, I had COVID, therefore I have great immunity. And now you're really starting to look at many, many studies that says, what is stronger, the vaccine or previous infection? And vaccine is winning out in almost every single one of these, saying that you will get some natural immunity, but the vaccination is really what's going to protect you more than anything. And this is the argument that is going across the country for people who don't want to get vaccinated. And I just tell people, you know what? If you get vaccinated after the infection, you are much better off than just having the infection, because we don't know how long natural immunity will last. Again, think about the common cold. You got that, you would think you couldn't get it. But the next year, or even later in the year, you will still get another cold.
And also, vaccinated versus unvaccinated probably means hospitalized versus non-hospitalized, ventilator versus non-ventilator. Being vaccinated means if you do get it again, it's going to be much less severe, if I understand that correctly.
100%. The individuals seen in the hospital now are unvaccinated. Those that are vaccinated, we're seeing those that are immunocompromised or have, you know, some of the other risk factors like obesity and heart disease. And we have to remember that those immunocompromised, as we talked about last week and the week before, getting what we're considering a booster is actually what we're calling a third shot for those immunocompromised to make sure that they get to that level. But you're absolutely right. The individuals who are having breakthrough cases are getting a bad cold, a bad influenza. They're not ending up in the hospital. They're not ending up on ventilators. And yet we're still having some breakthrough cases.
Janine, you are on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. And Dr. Most, I'm so grateful that you're okay. For 19 months, you've been helping us every Sunday. And thank you so much. I have an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis. And I was wondering, if I begin a course of prednisone, when should I get that booster shot? Do I wait to take the booster shot, or do I get it right away?
No, you know, Janine, it's a question that many people, especially those with like lupus or sarcoid, or Crohn's, where they might get a flare up and they're going to need to be put on prednisone, which is an immunosuppressive. We know that already. So we want to make sure that we're giving you the vaccine at the appropriate time for that to work in its maximum capacity. So certainly if you're going to be put on a burst of prednisone for your sarcoid, wait until you're done with that. And then I'd probably wait about 10 days before getting that booster. If you haven't started the prednisone yet and you're like, well, I'm going to have to go on it here.
Yeah.
If the prednisone can be delayed, you know, a week, boy, getting the booster right now would be ideal. But really, and the same with the flu shot for you. You know, I'm sure you know the importance for you to make sure you get that high dose flu shot because of your sarcoid.
Oh, thank you so much. And another question: mammogram before or after the booster? I've heard different.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a very good point, Janine, and I hope everyone listens to this one. This is one where when you get the booster, what can often happen is your immune response gets turned on. And sometimes what happens there is you get lymph nodes that appear large. And you will often, people will say, gosh, I feel my lymph nodes. Yeah, that's the immune system turning on. If you get your mammogram after your booster, we may see lymph nodes that are turned on because of the infection, but it raises the concern about breast cancer. So certainly you want to get your mammogram prior to your booster. So you want to make sure that your body, as far as oncology or tumors or anything like that, are not phased by the booster. So we don't want to get that confusion. So very important that if you're up for a mammogram and up for your booster, get your mammogram now and then get your booster. You can get it the day after you get your mammogram. You just don't want to do it prior to it.
Janine,
and that's a very good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. A
couple of fantastic questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janine, very much. The really great questions. A lot of people asking about boosters on the text line. People are asking Pfizer or Moderna, which is better as a booster. And can I go get them now if I'm you know, of a certain age, or if I'm in one of the categories that qualifies?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go and get them now. If you want to truly follow the science portion of it, it appears that Moderna is going to be the one that's the highest. I would say individuals who got J&J, when you're talking about a booster, you're actually talking now, it's feeling it is the second shot. So if you get a J&J and follow it by another J&J, you're going to get a fourfold increase in antibodies. But let's put that into perspective. If you got J&J for your single shot and your booster ends up to be Moderna, you get a 76-fold increase in your antibodies. So certainly it looks like those who receive J&J, that the booster would be much better off to be Pfizer or Moderna. That's one of the probably the big messages. The other is for anybody who's open right now and available for a booster, certainly try to get it as we're coming into the Thanksgiving and you know, holiday season
right here. Before large family gatherings of
yep.
friends, et cetera, shopping, et cetera. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. He will join us live and in person at our annual Tree Time broadcast in Lake Barrington Sunday morning, November the 14th. He'll be on at his regular time, 9:30 until 10. Kevin, we're looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great, Dean, and thanks for the kind words, and appreciate everybody concerned about my health, and just as I'm concerned about everyone's out there. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. We love you. That's why you should come out to our big Tree Time show on November the 14th, so you can watch the mistakes happen in person. It's one thing to listen
to. Nothing like live radio, right?
There's nothing like seeing everybody panic. The producers, the engineers, the promotion people, the Tree Time people, everybody panicking at the same time, while Shwani, Andy, and I are all clueless.
Best way to go through life, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's plenty of stress. Why add to the stress, I say? But we are looking forward to the annual Tree Time Holiday Spectacular that will be broadcast live from Tree Time Christmas Creations out in Lake Barrington. It's 221-02 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. It's a gigantic Christmas tree warehouse, artificial Christmas tree warehouse. And we're going to space things out a little bit this year, more than we usually have, just to, you know, be as COVID protocol safe as possible. We will be a little more spaced out than usual. Normally, they cram us all on one desk. We're literally elbow to elbow on this one desk. And I've asked them to space us out a little more this year. Plus, and Chwani's not going to be doing the news, and Andy's not going to be doing the sports.
Correct.
This year, we're going to have who's going to be filling in for you guys back here at the station?
Don Kleppen and Jordan Bernfield.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Very nice.
They can join in the fun too.
Well, I don't know about that. But nice of you to invite them, but.
Oh, that's right. It's your show.
Yeah.
So it's whoever you want.
Yeah, when they change the name to Dave Schwann Sunday morning, then you can invite whoever you want. No, of course they can. Of course they can join in. But we'll be out there with Elton Jim Toronto, because he always brings a good time. We understand that he's polishing up his holiday brooch.
The festive pin.
Yeah, the ladies' brooch that he likes to wear on his Santa suit every year.
That would look nice with your sexy Dean costume.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. But I don't think Elton would give it up.
No.
I don't think I have to get my own lady's brooch.
I'll call Aunt B.
So, you know, we're going to try to do as many of the traditions as we possibly can. You know, normally we do that 12 days of Christmas sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can do that with, you know, because we have to have separate microphones for everybody. I don't know if we can get that many microphones hooked up all for one thing. So we may have to do something a little different with that. But we've got a lot of fun planned, as we'd mentioned before. Dr. Kevin Most is going to be joining us live at the broadcast. So we really appreciate him joining us. The a cappella singers, the Canterbury Carolers, will be out there, and they will be entertaining and performing. I will tell you this. We've got a couple of A-list celebrities who are going to be joining us. We are 99% confirmed having them coming out and joining us. So I'm not going to say who they are just yet till we get the 100% confirmation on that. But we're going to have a couple of pretty big-name celebrities who are going to be out there joining us as well. And, you know, all the usual fun. Now, they tell me that anyone who shows up that morning will get what is called a 15% Dean's discount.
On every sexy Dean's discount.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
You're just not going to let that go, are you?
You are a little obsessed with that. It's starting to creep me out, to be honest with you.
When you're through, I have a question also.
Well, let me finish explaining this.
Take your time.
15% sexy Dean discount on everything that is in the Tree Time showroom the day of the broadcast. So if you're thinking about getting some you know, holiday things for your house, some decorations, things like that, 15% off. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Any type of decoration you want,
anything
they
that's in
have.
The store.
Oh, yeah.
Anything,
they have it.
They have everything there. It's amazing they can give this discount considering the amount of stuff that Schwani shoplifts every year. If you check his pockets carefully while we're leaving the store, you'll notice, did he have a Christmas tree in his coat pocket?
He tried to pass it off as a beard, but we knew better.
It's all going to be, is that 2 weeks from today?
Two weeks from today, yes.
2 weeks from today, Sunday, November the 14th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., our annual Tree Time special at Tree Time Christmas Creations, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. You get all the details at WGNradio.com/events. Now, you're going to say something?
Yes, I have a question here. Yes. A little earlier, when you were explaining how everything was going to be set up and laid out and everything,
yes.
you said that myself, you, and Andy, that we will all be spaced out.
Right.
Does this imply...
I smell a Three Stooges soundbite coming.
What does this imply here?
I smell a
spaced out. Are you implying that we're...
Spread out.
Okay.
Spread out, you numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, and a phony at the mic.
We can do a segment on you doing Three Stooges bits.
So when you said spaced out, you just meant that we would be physically far apart, not implying some sort of mental, emotional state.
I think you can interpret that in several ways, and they would all be correct.
Okay.
Are you saying that this is like a serious broadcast and we're not kind of spaced out?
Wanted clarification.
Yeah.
I just wanted clarification.
Boy, somebody texted in some pictures of previous broadcasts.
All from years past?
Yeah.
Nice.
And we are crammed at that table.
Yeah, it was pretty close quarters.
We are really crammed in at that table. There's a picture of us crammed at the table. We'll post all these. There's one of Elton Jim singing. Be nice if we could get Elton John, though.
Yeah, can't he pull some strings?
Well, you just mentioned A-listers.
Yeah.
Might he be one?
A couple of pictures of you, Schwani, doing the news, and me with a bow and arrow, shooting a bow and arrow.
That's awesome.
Which will not be happening this year. The insurance people have advised us that we will not be doing bows and arrows.
And my life insurance people dropped me after they found out about it.
What were we thinking? But we did it anyway. That's the fun of the Tree Time Show. 2 weeks from today here on WGN.
WGN. Coming this season on Backstory.
This story needs to be told.
That is the story of so much Chicago history that hasn't been documented.
Your conclusion is what?
If you don't change your ways, you're going to lose everything.
We saw the importance of this and it would be gone. We can't lose it.
And the backstory we've all been waiting for about one famous clown. New time, new stories, new backstory.
Season 9 of Larry Potash's Backstory.
Coming that to, face that is usually covered
WGN.
By...
premiering this coming Saturday night, November the 6th, at 6:30 Central Time, a brand new time. Larry Potash, WGN Morning News, on the line with us. Larry, you had me at Bozo.
Good morning, Dean.
Finally, I've finally lured you into the clown web that I've been living in for all these years.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting because it's such. I mean, for a certain generation, they don't get the clown thing. They associate the clown thing with horror stories, and right. That's it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd go back and take a look and see how all this thing got started.
Yeah, well, you do a deep dive into the Bozo the Clown character. I mean, on the specials that I've done and I've hosted that we've got coming up. On Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve, we replay the old clips and everything. But I mean, you go back to the origin of Bozo and how it started and how it grew. Right on this first episode of your ninth season now of Backstory.
Yeah, everybody knows Bozo in Chicago. And when I've been doing these stories, I usually go around to longtime Chicagoans to say, "What do you know about X?" And I'm always surprised that they really know, they don't know much more than a sentence or two about it. So it's usually a good indicator. So there are so many people associated with Bozo, and we kind of focus in on a few of the important ones like Bob Bell and Larry Harmon. And it started out as a piece about Larry Harmon, the guy who sort of started the franchise across the country. And then as I was looking for video, I came across this clown who auditioned for Larry Harmon. And turned out that Bob Bell's son lived up the street from him. So the story just kept growing and kept going deeper.
I can't wait to see this. We're going to look forward to that. But you've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up on the new season of Backstory. For the past year and a half, I've been cooking up a storm on the morning show. But you've got a story about how a slave's recipes were preserved and how a family, I guess, is hoping to turn that all into a business.
Yeah, it was a guy who lived to the age of 108, and his mother was a slave, and the father was the master of the plantation. So it's an interesting backstory, and this guy heads north on foot and was illiterate, and these recipes were sort of in his head, and he passed them down through the generations until somebody started writing them down. And so it's an interesting story, not just about barbecue and how he did it, but also just the stories of his life and passing that down along with the recipes, a way of life that is often not taught in school, at least not in this detail.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Backstory is that there are serious stories and fun stories like Bozo, interesting stories. But also, you've got the backstory on roller skating that, I think a lot of us remember going to the Axel roller rink. There were roller rinks all over the Chicago area, and that was a big deal back in the 70s and 80s to get your skates and go over there.
And it's becoming extinct. extinct because roller skating arenas are big places, which means they take up a lot of real estate, which has become increasingly expensive. And so a lot of them are coming down. And so we wanted to capture, a couple before they're gone for good. And some of them, it's great. You walk in and you can tell they've had a fresh coat of paint and everything, but you can see the signs of 1950, 1960, 1970. And just the evolution of how one skates and how people skate differently in different cultures. Hmm. And when we looked back, way back, roller skating started out as this, like, sort of, it attracted juvenile delinquents. It was a big concern.
Really?
You know,
really?
Rowdy roller skaters.
Wow. I associated with the disco era. That's right. How I remember, like 70s and 80s disco music, and you go out there in your ridiculous leisure suits and skate around the rink a few times.
Well, what's interesting is as roller skating has somewhat died off over the years, it keeps coming back because of a different kind of music or because of a pandemic. There's always something that kind of makes it go away and makes it come back. And so we take a look at that.
Interesting. You're looking forward to that and so much more. Backstory with Larry Potash at a brand new time. It's going to be on Saturday nights starting this coming Saturday, November the 6th, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, and then repeated Sunday nights at 11 p.m. As well. And let me see. Is it going to be it's streaming as well, I think, right?
Yeah, it streams, and if I could, tonight there's a repeat, great for Halloween at 11 p.m., about the Salem witch trials and the real story behind the Exorcist movie, which is based on a story, but we kind of separate fact from fiction for the original case. I went to Mexico to interview a guy who had the church documents. So if you haven't seen that, the Exorcist story or the Salem witch trial story, that's worth checking out tonight at 11 p.m.
Tonight at 11, and then the new time starts next Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Backstory with Larry Potash. Of course, you see him on the WGN TV Morning News, and that's where I will see you live and in person tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Dean.
Incredible music of the legendary Carole King, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way, last night in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. Carole King was inducted last night. Tina Turner, the Go-Go's, the Foo Fighters, Jay-Z. I'll show you some highlights of that tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News. And then they're going to broadcast the entire induction ceremony later on in the month of November on HBO and HBO Max. But the reason that we're playing some Carole King this morning is that we have somebody playing Carole King in the Broadway hit musical, Beautiful, the Carole King musical that's been here in Chicago a couple of times before and is about to open again at the CIBC Theater over on West Monroe Street. It's going to be opening on Tuesday night, and we'll be there until November the 7th. But if you are a Carole King fan, this is such a great show and so beautifully performed, as I found out when I went over to the theater the other day and we chatted with the star of the show, Sarah Shepard, who joins us on the phone right now. Sarah, good morning. Nice to talk to you again.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you, too.
So talk to me a little bit just about being back on stage again, because, I mean, you were shut down just like every other performer in America for the last year and a half, pretty much. And now getting back out there, rehearsing again, getting ready to be in front of audiences again, it's got to be pretty exciting for you.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah, I have, you know, not been able to be on a stage or in a rehearsal space for the last 18 months. So to be able to step into those spaces again and be able to work with these incredible people and to tell this story in particular, which just has so much joy and such incredible music, I mean, it is, we're just having a blast, and we're so excited to actually to open on Tuesday night and have an audience. It's going to be really special.
Can you kind of walk me backwards a little bit? 18 months ago, were you doing this show when everything shut down?
No, actually, I was a part of the original Broadway company from the beginning, and we actually closed October of 2019. Which, in looking back, I'm so grateful for, because we had a you know, a proper closing night. We got to say goodbye to this piece, where so many Broadway shows, you know, shut down, and a few didn't get to open back up. But this tour was out when the shutdown happened. So there are people that are out here right now that were with the show in March of 2020 when everything shut down.
So you were in the original Broadway cast with Jesse Mueller from Evanston,
yes.
from Chicago's own, and Abby was.
Abby
Mueller, her sister, went out on tour, I think, right, with the show.
Yes, she was the Carol on the first national tour, and then she came into Broadway a few times, so I got to do it with her there.
That is something. But one of your stage managers, when we were there doing a live broadcast for the WGN Midday News, one of your stage managers said that the show itself was getting ready to open. I forget in what city he said, but they were loading in the sets and costumes and all that, and then they broke for lunch. And when lunch was over, he got a call saying, "Get it all out of there. We're shutting theaters are shutting down everywhere." I mean, that's what it was like for everybody 18 months ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was actually planning, I was going to come out to the tour. I think it would have been April or May of 2020 for like 10 weeks to close the tour when the tour was going to actually close. And so I had been messaging with our stage manager, you know, trying to figure out fittings and just getting all the information about, you know, what cities I was going to go to. And then March, obviously, that all just, all communication kind of just stopped because the world stopped.
Yeah.
And it was, wild. Totally wild.
Amazing. I wonder what it's like for you as a performer to sing the music of Carole King at this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony last night, in which Carole King was inducted in the class of 2021. Jennifer Hudson sang "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman" the way Aretha Franklin did when Carole King was honored at the Kennedy Center. But also Taylor Swift sang "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" to honor Carole King. At that level, for you as a Broadway performer, starring in the show as Carole King, what is it like to sing these very profound songs that are so much a part of people's lives?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I think too much about it, it could almost be overwhelming.
Well, I'm glad I could bring it up then.
No. It's such an honor. I don't know what other way to put it. Especially, you know, obviously she is a real person and she is still alive, and you just want to do her justice, you know? And I just try every moment that I get to sing one of her just epic tunes, you know, her hits. I try to just be in the story in the moment and just let where that song lands in that particular part of the journey. I just try to live in it right there. So, you know, when I sit down and get to sing "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow," I am, you know, Carol at 18 trying to wake up Jerry from writing, you know, to go to work. And I get to sit down and sort of, I hear these lyrics for the first time every night, which is incredible. So I get to kind of go on her journey, I mean, it's just incredible to sing these tunes that, you know, Aretha Franklin, like you just said, that, you know, sings "Natural Woman." It's just an honor. It's such a pleasure to do every night.
So when you go on stage to perform these songs, do you go out there going, I'm going to do my best Carole King impersonation of this song? Or are you out there going, I'm going to make this my own? I am Sarah Shepherd, damn it, and I'm going to make this song my own when I go out on the stage tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I certainly don't go out there thinking I want to do my best Carole King impersonation. There was never sort of any pressure to sound like her. I always try to sort of in the like work leading up to this, you know, I do a lot of listening to her to just incorporate her, like her styling, her musical phrasing. But in terms of my sound, I'm not trying to emulate her sound. It's definitely my voice. But I just try to bring my truest, authentic self to the piece because I think that is what Carole does in her music. When she performs, when she writes, I think how she walks through the world, she is just the truest version of herself. And so if I do that, I think that is the best way I can do her justice when I step into her shoes.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I mean, it's all about these very nostalgic songs, both pre- and post-Tapestry. Songs, as I have said forever, these are songs that are part of each of the soundtracks of our own lives. If you grew up in a certain era, Carole King songs were part of your life, part of whatever was going on in your life. Carole King music was playing in the background at the same time.
Absolutely.
So there is a part of that. And when we come back, we're going to hear Sarah from when I was at the theater the other day, and we broadcast this for TV. Beautiful version of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow that Sarah did for us. Then let me take a quick break and we'll come right back. WGN. And actually, during the break, I was thinking about it. It was actually, You've Got a Friend, equally as beautiful, and I can't wait. Have you ever had Carole King standing there, Sarah, while you've had to sing one of her songs right to her face?
No, actually. I have not been on as Carole King when she has come to the show. But I have met her a few times, and she is just everything you would want her to be. She is the loveliest, most grounded, open human. But I have not had that moment yet.
How do you think you would feel? I would be shaking in my boots.
Ooh, yeah. I don't think I'd want to know that she was there, to be honest. I think I'd be too nervous.
But
I know
by all accounts.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, by all accounts, I've never interviewed her, but everyone says she's just the most down-to-earth, lovely person who will put you at ease, because you're meeting Carole King. She'll put you at ease before you ever even have a chance to get nervous. So, hopefully one day that'll happen for you, because I'm sure it's a great honor as well. When can people see Beautiful?
We open on Tuesday night. And we are here until Sunday afternoon. We have two shows on Wednesday, two shows on Saturday. So you can catch us all week at the CIBC Theater. Yeah.
CIBC Theater. It's the old Schubert down on West Monroe Street. And it's Sarah Shepherd and her cast, which you'll also hear in this beautiful recording. Sarah, enjoy your Sunday today. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for the beautiful music. Really nice meeting you earlier this week.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Sarah Shepherd as Carole King.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, close your eyes.
got a friend.
Ah, me too, me too.
Now ain't it good to know that you got a friend when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you.
Yes, and desert you.
The broadcast of that we had on the midday TV news the other day up at WGNTV.com. But you can see beautiful the Carole King musical opens Tuesday and will run through November the 7th. You can get ticket information at BroadwayInChicago.com. We've got Hap and OB standing by. They're going to be coming up after the 11 o'clock news. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bob Surratt show every morning between 8 and 8:30. And of course, on the WGN TV morning news Monday through Friday.